Thank you for joining our family at Bartlett Baptist Church. We are a worshiping family, making disciples by reaching out to our community and embracing each other in fellowship. It is our desire to help people mature into Christ-likeness. For more information or for additional resources, please stay tuned after today's message.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to hear from you. Speak now through your word. We stand against the enemy who would want to distract us and tempt us. We do, by faith, what you told us to do, take on the whole armor of God. We take the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the belt of truth and the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we take in our hands our Bibles, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And above all, we take the shield of faith to snuff out the fiery darts that the enemy would shoot at us. Now, Lord, give me freedom to speak and give us all freedom to listen and to respond by faith to what you say to us. And as we conclude this service and hear a challenge to obey, to respond, may we respond in the way that you are speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Today I want to talk to you about worry-free living. We've just been through the election season. Thank God it's over. But I don't know how you feel about the way it all turned out. And I suppose that even if you were real happy about the way it turned out, there are still some mighty big questions. What's going to happen now? We are certainly facing some major moral and political and financial crises and challenges here in our country. So how are Christians supposed to respond to all of this? Well, look at what Jesus said in how we are to face life's challenges. In Matthew 6:25, he said, "Do not be worried." And he added in verse 31 of Matthew 6, "Do not worry." And just in case you missed it, he says in verse 34, "So do not worry." There it is, folks. Did you just feel the pressure lift? Did the pressure just go off your shoulders? I hope so. Because Jesus said, "Hey, I got it. Trust me. Don't worry. I've got it." And you know what? The really cool thing is, what he's telling us not to worry about is our treasure. It's directly connected. Look in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Verse 20. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Last part of verse 24. "You cannot serve God and wealth." God and money or riches. So he says, therefore, verse 25, "For this reason, do not be worried." So, what are your treasures? Well, your treasures are your money, certainly. But it's also your family, your house, your car, your skills, your job. Whatever is precious to you, anything that you want to preserve and protect, that's your treasure. And if you're tempted to hoard it, that's your treasure. Yet Jesus said, "Don't be worried about your treasures. I'll take care of you." Now, honestly, it's easier to say that from here than it is for me to do that on Monday and Tuesday. Some people have a positive attitude. And others of us have a negative attitude. I'm one of those people that can see the dark cloud in every silver lining. And it's quite natural for me to worry. It's quite natural for me to be negative and say, well, I can see how this is going to go bad. It's all right now, but what about next week? It's okay now, but what about in 5 years? And I sometimes forget to live now, thinking about the future and planning for the future and wishing for the future when it's going to be better. Do any of the rest of you have that problem? Well, let's listen to what Jesus says. First, he says, instead of worrying, store your treasures in heaven. Now, let's get into the scripture. You're going to have to follow along in the Bible to notice these. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Verse 19, Matthew 6, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So, instead of worrying, store your treasures in heaven. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, here's the answer. Because treasures in heaven help to draw your heart toward God. Now, notice how he explains that. In verse 19, he says, don't save foolishly. It's foolish to store up your treasures in heaven. Don't save foolishly. Now, how was it that people in Jesus' day gathered and preserved their wealth? Three basic ways are related in these two verses. They would buy expensive cloth. There was great value in colorful cloth. Or, if they were farmers, they had grain. And they would get as much as they could and store it away in barns for the future. And they also could have gold. And they would either bury it, hide it in their house, carry it in a pouch, or have jewelry made out of it and wear it. So, three main sources of wealth and preserving your wealth: garments, grain, and gold. But Jesus said, hey, if you invest your whole being in having garments, grain, and gold, that is a foolish thing. Because the moths will eat that garment. The mold or the rats will eat that grain. Or some thief will dig into your wall and break into your house. Or find where you buried in a field and dig it up and steal it. Then what will you do? So don't invest foolishly. You see, don't put the focus of your life on stuff. Proverbs 27:24 says, for riches are not forever. Some of you aren't old enough to know that yet, but the rest of you are. Will you set your eyes on that which is not, says Proverbs 23:5. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. That sure does. Somebody said, today, money talks. it says goodbye. And even if your money doesn't, you will. You and I and all our stuff are temporary. Do you realize the stuff that you just thought you could not live with without 10 years ago is now junk in your basement that you don't know what to do with? Before we moved from New York, we paid a company $700 to come and clean out our basement. And I thought, they loaded up a truck with stuff that we thought one time in our life we really needed. And now we're paying somebody to carry it away. Isn't that what life is like? So don't let your heart be so invested in stuff here on earth. But if your treasure is in heaven, by contrast, it'll draw your heart toward God. For verse 20 says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So you can save wisely. Don't save foolishly, verse 19. Save wisely, verse 20. Now, how in the world do you save treasures in heaven? Now, what did we say treasures were? Money? Well, how do you save your money in heaven? Well, I believe one very simple way is when the offering plate is passed every Sunday, you put a tenth of your money in it. That's your tithe. Our pastor's been teaching, and our Sunday school lessons have been for the last 4 weeks on our stewardship responsibility, on giving. And we've been talking about the financial need that we have here in our church. And also the good that God is allowing us to do as we minister through the giving that we have. So the way that that need is met is that each of us simply obey God, like our pastor preached last Sunday from Malachi chapter 3. Don't rob God. And don't be like the people who said in that day, who, us? What are you talking about? How have we robbed you? And God said, in tithes and offerings. You see, one of the responsibilities God gives to each of his children is simply to set aside one penny of every dime, 10 cents of every dollar, $1 of every hundred, and give it to God. When I was a little boy, my parents taught me to tithe. When I got a dime allowance, they gave it to me in pennies so I could give a penny to church. And Judy's parents taught her the same thing. And so when we got married and suddenly she said, it never occurred to me that you didn't have any money. When we got married, I had reserved a honeymoon suite at the Motel 6. And then I had about $20 to my name. I was a seminary student here at Mid-America. And by the time we finished our reception line, we had $70. And that's what we started out our life with. I was so glad she never thought about that she needed a husband with money, because she wouldn't have married me. But you know what? With that $70, we gave seven to the Lord. And we have found through the years that even when it looked like on paper that there's more outgo than income, we always set apart the first 10%. and we gave it to the Lord in faith that our 90% is going to go further than 100%. Our 90% will go further with God than 100% will go without God. And I cannot explain it to you, but it always has. And God has always been faithful to care for us. I think tithing is just a test. Do you trust me? Will you trust me with what you have? I think that's one of the ways that we lay up treasures in heaven. We give our tithes and our offerings. I hope you're learning the joy of giving. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. That literally means a hilarious giver. And so when the offering plate is passed, there should be laughter begin to roll across the congregation. And when we're not laughing at the end, we ought to pass it again so we can get happy. God loves a cheerful, a hilarious giver. But another way we said our family is our treasure. Now, we don't have an ATM out in the lobby where we can install our children. Some of you wish you could sometime. But we don't have such a thing. So how do we lay up our families in heaven that we treasure? Well, we just simply function as a God-honoring family, like Ephesians 5:22-6:9 says, "Husbands, love your wife with a self-sacrificing love. Wives, respect and submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. Parents, raise your children up in the love and the training of the Lord." Now, when it's saying that having treasures in heaven, that doesn't mean it's wrong to have food in your pantry. It doesn't mean it's wrong or sinful to have a savings account. In fact, just the opposite is true. Proverbs 6:6-8, he says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." And what do you learn from the ant? Well, it plans for the future and stores up for the winter. There's nothing wrong with you saving for the future. In fact, Proverbs 21:20 says that a foolish person squanders everything, but a wise person has treasure in his house. And that's what Matthew 6 is talking about. Have treasure in your house. That's wise. So it's not wrong to save. The point is, all of our stuff belongs to God. And we just say, "Lord, it's all yours. By faith, I'm going to give the tithe. And when you give me a little extra, I may give an offering sometime. But it is all yours, Lord. And I want you to give me wisdom to take care of the 90%. As well, because it 100% came from you. It's all a gift from you. And it is not stuff that is a problem. It is loving your stuff. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." So it's the heart attitude that matters, not the amount that matters. So, don't say foolishly. Save wisely, store your treasures in heaven. Now, why is that? Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart follows your treasure, not the other way around. Your focus, you focus where you save. So, where's your focus? Heaven or earth? So treasures in heaven help to draw your heart toward God. And treasures in heaven help to draw, open your mind to generosity. Now look at verse 22 and 23. I love these verses. The eye is the lamp of the body, says Matthew 6:22. So then, if your eye is clear, if it's healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Judy and I, Judy has MS. And that's why she's in a wheelchair. And most of you know that. And when we were living in New York, we used to go to an MS symposium every year where neurologists spoke and told the latest science that was going on, and studies that were being done, and medications and that kind of stuff. And one year there was a neurological surgeon and an eye surgeon that was speaking. And he said, "We have discovered that you do not see with your eyeballs. You see with your brain. Your eyes simply let light into your brain." And I immediately thought of Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Isn't that amazing that Jesus knew that in 30 AD? And neurologists didn't discover it until the 1900s? Isn't that amazing? Now, the physical illustration in verse 22 is then given a spiritual application in verse 23. 22 is the illustration. 23 is the spiritual truth. Here it is. But if your eye is bad, and that word doesn't mean unhealthy physically, it means morally bad and spiritually bad. Some Bibles translate it evil. And that's correct. If your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If you are in the spiritual dark, man, you are really in the dark. That's what he's saying. Now, notice he talks about an evil eye. Have you ever heard the evil eye? People used to think that an evil eye was a person who had the ability to look at you with an evil eye and cast a spell on you. Well, that's not what an evil eye is. An evil eye is greed. Deuteronomy 15:7-9 talks about your eye being evil, of seeing your brother in need and turning away and not helping. Proverbs 28:22 talks about the same thing, that an evil eye is a greedy person who hoards all for themselves. And Colossians 3:6 says that greed is idolatry. If you are a greedy person, you are trusting another god. Do you have another god in your life? Well, what's the opposite of that? Well, if you have treasures in heaven, it opens your mind to generosity. You see, if you don't have everything clutched in your hand, holding on to it that you don't want anybody else to get it, but rather have an open hand and an open heart, saying, "Lord, all I have is yours. It all came from you. I'm trusting you to care for it. I'm trusting you to meet my needs. And I have an open hand, Lord. It's all available to you." There is freedom in that, friend. Corrie ten Boom, you remember, if you ever remember hearing of her, she said, "When you hold tightly to stuff, it really hurts when the Father pries your fingers off of them." So just hold everything loosely and freely. Open your mind to generosity. And then treasures in heaven also will submit your will to God. Verse 24. This is so simple. No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one, love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Who are you serving? So, treasures in heaven draw your heart toward God. They open your mind to generosity. They submit your will to God. Now, what's the opposite of that? Well, if your treasure's on earth, money will be your master. If your treasure's on earth, you'll be motivated by greed. If your treasure's on earth, terrestrial treasure will be your passion. And what is going to happen to you if a financial crisis comes roaring into your life? I tell you what will happen. Your idol will topple over. And you'll be in a panic. What are we going to do about what's going on in our country and in our world? Jesus said, don't worry. Store your treasures in heaven. And everything will be safe and secure. Second, instead of worrying, trust your Father in heaven. Now, let's just walk through this real quickly. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then God is your Heavenly Father. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be the children of God, even to them who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If you have been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, then you're God's child. So trust Him instead of worrying. Now why? Because worry is futile. Look at verse 27. And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Some say a cubit to his stature. But here's the point. It won't add stature to your body or seconds to your life to worry. It may take them away, but it won't add them. Nor will worry reduce your sorrow. Verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It takes the strength out of today. So worry is futile. Second, worry shrinks your faith. Verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, the person who has a hoarding attitude has little faith. I've got to keep everything for myself because there may not be more tomorrow. That's little faith. If you worry, it shrinks your faith. But third, not only is worry futile and does it shrink your faith, but worry is a sin. You say, oh no, don't tell me that. Why would you say that? Worry just means you understand the situation, doesn't it? One of my friends said, if you're not worried, you don't understand the situation. Well, wait a minute. How could worry be a sin? Well, verse 25, Jesus said, do not worry. And verse 31, He said, do not worry. And verse 34, He said, do not worry. And isn't sin just disobeying God? If He commanded us not to worry, then if we worry, it's a sin. But I'm sure glad it's a sin that the blood of Jesus will wash away, because I need that. So let's conclude with four practical steps to overcoming worry. Here they are. Number one, you can trust your Heavenly Father today. Do you know why? I said children are one of our treasures. Well, let me tell you, you are your Father's treasure. You can trust your Heavenly Father today. Why did I say you are your Father's treasure? Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Jesus didn't die for the birds. He died for you. Mike Mullinex's mother-in-law told me after the first service, she said, what you said this morning reminded me of something Adrian Rogers said one time about verse 26. He said, what kind of father would feed his chickens and starve his children? Isn't that good? What kind of father would feed his chickens and starve his children? God takes care of the birds. Don't you think he'll take care of you? You're worth more to him than birds. And the birds are doing pretty good, and so are you. Why are you worrying? You can trust your Father today. Well, your Father responds with abundance. Verse 30. He will take care, he will much more clothe you. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything we need, God will take care of through Jesus. In fact, your Father knows your needs. Verse 32, it says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows it, and he will supply it, says verse 33, if you will simply put him first. If you have faith in the Father and put him first, he'll meet all your needs. So what do you have to worry about? The Creator of the universe promised to take care of you. That's good news, folks. We can trust him today. Number two, practical step number two to overcome worry, embrace a satisfyingly simple lifestyle. What did Jesus promise? Food, drink, and clothes. The necessities of life, the basic needs of life. Now, he may give you more, but he didn't promise more. He did not promise us Wi-Fi, iPads, HDTV with surround sound, or a cabin at the lake. Now, he may give you those things. And if he does give you the cabin in the at the lake, thank him for it. And share it with me one week. It'll be okay. But G.K. Chesterton said there are two ways to get enough. One is to acquire more and more, and the other is to desire less. Some of us just need to adjust our lifestyle ambitions. And if we would, it would just lift the burden. And we wouldn't have to worry. Embrace a satisfyingly simple lifestyle. Thank him for the basic needs, and you'll have enough. And third, you can focus on your Heavenly Father's priorities. Verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, you won't be the loser if you put Him first. And finally, you can live by faith today. Verse 34. Every day has its own trouble. That's okay. You do not have to worry about tomorrow if your faith is in your Father. And you're putting Him first. All you have to deal with is today. Hey, here's the good news. You might be dead tomorrow. And then you want all that stuff you worried about of what's going to happen tomorrow. It won't matter. But by the way, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you've got a lot to worry about. Because even if you live to tomorrow, Jesus may come back tonight and you'll be left behind. You've got a lot to worry about if you don't know Jesus. But the answer is, don't worry. Instead of worrying, turn to Jesus. He died for you. He cares more about you than the birds. He sent His Son to die for you. And if you will trust Him today, He will come into your life. He will transform you from the inside out. He'll begin to live His life through you. You won't have to worry. You won't have to fear. You can have peace in your heart and know that whatever happens here, you're on your way to heaven. And it is going to be better tomorrow. And it's going to be glorious the next day. You have a lot to worry about if you don't know Jesus, but you have nothing to worry about if you do. So, friend, have you trusted Jesus? If you haven't, trust Him today. I mean, right now. Here's what you do. The Bible says, not me, not our pastor, the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you know Jesus died on the cross in your place, and the Bible says He did, He died for all, for everyone. That includes you. You know Jesus died for you. He suffered for your sin upon the cross. He was buried and He rose again victorious over that sin. And He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you'll come to Jesus with the faith of a little child and say, Jesus, I trust You now. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. I cast all my cares on You. I give You all my sin. And He will give you freedom and forgiveness and peace. Would you like to have it today? You can. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for the friends who don't know You. Lord, would You convict of sin? You said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've read the better part of a chapter of Your Word this morning. Your Word has gone out. And I'm trusting that Your Holy Spirit is now convicting and drawing someone to Jesus. Is Jesus saying in your heart, trust Me? If so, trust Him. Pray a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against You. My sins overwhelm me. They're more than I know what to do about. I can't undo them. I can't unscramble the eggs. But You promised in the Bible that if I would call on You, You would come into my heart. You would be my Savior. You would be my Lord. would forgive me and cleanse me. And so I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to come in. I trust you now, Lord Jesus. I don't trust my baptism. I trust you, Jesus. I don't trust church membership. I trust you, Jesus. I don't trust the best 5 minutes I ever lived. I trust you, Jesus. Take away my sin. Wipe my slate clean. Write my name in heaven. Give me a home in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing me. Thank you for saving me. Help me now to obey you and walk with you. Now, Lord, for those of us who are already believers, may we simply trust in you. May we do what you said. Instead of worrying, may we store our treasures in heaven. Instead of worrying, may we trust our Father today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Bartlett Baptist Church, and we thank you for being a part of our family today. If you would like to connect with someone about what you've just heard, or if you want more information about the family at Bartlett Baptist, our office number is 901-333-3350, and we are located at 3465 Kirby Whitten Parkway in Bartlett, Tennessee. Please visit us on the web at bartlettbaptist.org. Join us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Bartlett Baptist. Thank you and have a blessed day.